Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 21st of December 2016. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to iTunes, apple.itunes.com, and look up Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. As well, or go to Instagram and find me at Riddle Gerald Quinn at Instagram.com. Busy program as we wrap up a week 15 action in the league with no contract is guaranteed. Just 2 weeks left in the NFL season. We have a lot to do. Of course, you know, only four days away from Christmas. Before you know it, it'll be 2017. Before you know it, we will be swearing in a new president. So, the holiday season goes by fast. This year has went by fast. And, again, it'll be 2017. It's just absolutely right there as we get ready for our Christmas holiday where, you know, the NBA will take center stage on Sunday. But we begin with the league where no contract is guaranteed, and we begin, and they don't deserve to be a lead on my program, but we'll begin locally with the Washington football team who, didn't exactly treat Monday night as if it were a playoff type game or as if they were fighting for their playoff lives with a just embarrassing 26-15 loss to a feisty and prideful and proud Carolina Panther team. Listen, we saw this coming a mile away as far as, you know, how hard Carolina was going to play. I told you back in October, late October, early November, when it was clear to me that Carolina was not going to make the playoffs, and that they were in for one of these years where a team coming off a Super Bowl loss tends to have where, you know, you just, you know, when you lose that game, very difficult to rebound and, you know, follow up the next year with a big time year. And again, but I told you, I said Carolina will be one of these teams that will be, along with San Diego, that will be an absolute pain in the neck to deal with if you're a team that's trying to win a division, if you're a team, more importantly, that's just trying to get into the playoffs. And they certainly were everything and then some against the Washington Redskins. I mean, they pushed the Redskins all over, up and down the field. They embarrassed the Redskins in a game that would not even have been close if not for the Redskins defense, the much maligned, you know, much criticized defense. You know, they forced Carolina into 5 field goals. That game should have looked like the game that we saw last year when Carolina faced Washington when it was 44-16 or 44-15, 44-16. That just goes to show you that Carolina, again, is not the team that they were last year, because that it would have looked like that. You know, it basically was the same game. Carolina ran all over Washington. The Redskins could not run the football. Kirk Cousins struggled. So it basically was a carbon copy of last year's blowout loss to Carolina from 2015. The only difference is Carolina offensively is nowhere near where they were, where they were last year. But again, they caught Carolina at the wrong time. Carolina, you know, secondary is improving. Again, that's a team that has a lot of pride. They still can get to the quarterback, lead the league in sacks. And, you know, Washington just could not match them physically. And listen, I don't want to hear anything about, you know, we can sit up there and blame the coaches. in terms of the Washington coming out for the third, fourth straight game, coming out flat. I heard a very interesting, heard a comment a couple weeks ago by Greg Popovich after his team gave up, lost their game to Chicago, where they had their 13-game road winning streak to start the season snapped. And he said, basically Popovich just said, you know what, these guys are professionals. They get paid to be ready to play football, to play. They get paid to play. They get paid a lot of money to be ready to play a game. They're professionals. So, I say that, again, Jay Gruden, the coaches, would be easy to blame. But at some point, you got to put the emphasis on the players in terms of why Washington keeps coming out flat as a pancake and why they find themselves falling behind in these games that are supposed to be, playoff, have a playoff caliber type feel to them. I can blame Jay Gruden and, Sean McVay for play calling, Joe Barry, for not blitzing enough, stuff like that, X's and O's type stuff. But I'm not going to blame the coaches for guys not coming out ready to play. I'm just not. I mean, these guys are professionals. They know what's at stake. They have jobs on the line. I mean, those are NBA players that have guaranteed contracts. These guys don't have guaranteed contracts. So the idea that they're coming out for the fourth straight game flat as a pancake is, to me, is just absolutely inexcusable. And again, Washington, it's kind of, you kind of saw this coming a little bit with the way they have been playing in the last couple games. They have not played well since really, the second half or the fourth quarter of the Green Bay game. They really haven't played well since then. Dallas game kind of went a little bit back and forth. Went sort of back and forth. Arizona game, they were bad. Eagle game, they were fortunate to win. They didn't play well. They just, lucked up against a bad Eagle team that they were, fortunate to play at the time and caught the Eagles at the right time. So they haven't played a good football game in about a month. Going back to that Sunday night game against Green Bay. And I will say the second half of that game. So, we could kind of see this coming again against a Carolina team. And that was the theme around the league this week. Bad teams playing hard and really, really putting forth a major effort against teams that were trying to make the playoffs, especially, divisional rivals. And we saw that with the exception of Miami and the Jets, we saw that at Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. We saw that even with Jacksonville, Houston, and Jackson's coach got fired. So we saw that across the league, bad teams putting forth an effort against their divisional rivals, Green Bay, Chicago, case in point. So you knew Carolina, and Washington should have known Carolina was going to come out and play hard. Carolina is not a 5-8 football team. There are a lot of teams that play their talent matches their record. Carolina is not one of them. And again, to me, I'm at a point with the defense. I can't knock the defense for what they can't do. I can't. They have limited personnel. They cannot stop the run. They have one guy in the secondary. On top of it, you have two important players who are out right now. Sue Cravens that you can't replace. Cravens and Compton, especially Cravens. And I actually thought the defense, all things considered, actually played a pretty good football game. They haven't stopped the run all season long. They forced five field goals. They gave up one legitimate touchdown. The other touchdown was a setup by a turnover, which put the ball at the 1 yard line. So the defense did not play bad. I mean, they weren't great, but at this point in the season, again, the Washington Redskins will be driven and go as far as their offense takes them. They are a offensive dominated football team. They'll go as far as the offense takes them moving forward. For at least for the rest of this, 2016 season. Offensively, I thought it was their worst performance of the season. Again, Cousins was not, you know, was not accurate. I'm not gonna put the fumble on him. Again, he never saw Coleman. He never saw the Kurt Coleman, the safety. So that, you know, that was a poor read by him. Fumble again. I'm not gonna put the fumble on him. That was more of a breakdown in protection than was anything, and a good play by the Carolina defender. But he was not accurate. And, you know, the offensive line got just whooped. I mean, let's be honest. You know, when Kirk Cousins is your leading rusher, you know, that's a problem. Robert Kelly was basically a non-factor outside of a couple of receptions. You know, had about 4 or 5 receptions for like 40 yards. He was a non-factor. The only guy offensively that did anything was DeSean Jackson. He was the only guy. He was the only offensive player that had any impact on that game for Washington. Had a couple of spectacular catches. And again, that game was not as close as the score indicated. Again, Washington was the beneficiary of two just atrocious calls, to be honest with you. One, you know, Cam Newton gets hit in the head and was clearly should have been a personal foul on Trent Murphy. That ended up being called a personal foul, not a personal foul, but unsportsmanlike conduct on taunting on Cam Newton, who I frankly can't even blame for that penalty because he clearly got hit as he was got hit helmet to helmet as he's sliding, as he, you know, basically gave himself up. And the second one, and that knocked Carolina out of field goal range. The second one, a pass interference flag that got picked up because the ball was deemed to be uncatchable. So those are a couple of whistles that completely went against Carolina that would have even made the score, you know, would have put Carolina even that much more up, further up, and well over 30 points. So Washington falls to 6-7, 6-1. Obviously, we know that they need help to get to the playoffs. They're going to probably need to win out and have Detroit and have Green Bay and Tampa Bay lose one game apiece. Again, not impossible, but right now, based on how the Redskins have played the last month, how much confidence do you have that they will win their last two games? And the problem is they're not, you know, it was that they were basically dealing with just Tampa and that Detroit was running away with the division and, you know, Green Bay was a non-factor. Now you're dealing with all three of them. You're dealing with Green Bay, Tampa, and Detroit. And Detroit falls back because Green Bay has caught them or Detroit has lost a couple games. Detroit owns the tiebreaker against Washington based on the head-to-head. So keep that in mind as well. But again, I'm not even – it wouldn't even concern me. Listen, Redskins will not back into the playoffs. They're going to have to win these two games to get into the playoffs. They're not going to back into the playoffs. And they could win these two games and still not make the playoffs. Because you would ask me right now, I think both Tampa Bay and Green Bay are going to win out, to be honest with you. I really do. I think Detroit will lose a game. Well, he's next two games, but it won't matter because Detroit, again, will have the tiebreaker. Will have more finish with more wins than will finish either tied with in terms of wins or will finish with a better win percentage than Washington and own the tiebreaker from head to head. But right now, it's not even about those other teams. It's about how Washington is playing right now. That's what it's about. And right now, they don't look like a playoff team. For 2016. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. As you know, if you're watching NBA TV, you're watching Golden State just toy with Utah. You know, Utah came into this game giving up only about 95 points a game. Golden State has 75 points already, and they haven't even reached the fourth quarter. They still have about 4 or 5 minutes left in the third quarter. About 2 minutes left in the third quarter. RAS 75 points. 347-215-6180 to call them when we return. Divisional battles in the league where no contract is guaranteed. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Dallas takes out Tampa Bay 26-20. Dallas improves to 12-2 on the season. They will clinch a first round bye. They win one of the next two games, they will clinch home field throughout. Tampa Bay falls at 8-6, but still find themselves in with the number by virtue of Washington losing with the number six spot. A game that probably shouldn't even been as close as it was. Dallas dominates this game from the line of scrimmage, outgaining Tampa Bay 449-279. And also Tampa Bay had four turnovers. And this says a lot about Tampa Bay, the fact that they can get outgained on the road and lose a turnover battle 4-1, you know, tells you just how well they have been playing. Again, Dallas controlled this game in terms of the line of scrimmage. Ezekiel, big 185 yards rushing, 159 yards from Ezekiel Elliott. And, Dak Prescott, again, 32-36, 279. I don't think we'll be hearing any more about Tony Romo unless Prescott gets hurt. I know there was a lot of talk leading up to that game about whether or not we would see Romo and, that whole nonsense and that whole ordeal. And again, if we ever see Tony Romo on the field, minus a Dak Prescott injury, then the Cowboys will be doing the NFC as well as the rest of the NFL a favor, as far as I'm concerned. Dak Prescott is clearly the guy on that team. Tony Romo, again, the Tony Romo days to me are over as a Dallas Cowboy, as far as I'm concerned. So, again, for at least one more week, Prescott put the Tony Romo nonsense to rest and led his team to a 26-20 victory. Again, Tampa Bay, thing you like if you're a Buccaneers fan is your team didn't even play well and was able to play, had the ball with a chance to win the game. Winston ended up throwing an interception, but still didn't even play well. Still were hanging in versus a 12-2 Cowboys team. So, Tampa Bay has nothing to put hold their heads down. They have two more games. Of course, they have New Orleans and Carolina to finish out the season. And again, I think they have an excellent chance at finishing at 10-6 and getting that last playoff spot in terms of the number six seed. Giants keep rolling 17-6 over Detroit. Another great defensive effort by the Giants where they totally, hold Detroit's offense in check, hold Matthew Stafford, no touchdown passes, and just 324 total yards. Giants ran the ball for 114 yards, more importantly, 32 carries. Efficient workmanlike day for Eli Manning, two touchdowns, no picks, 20 of 28, 2 of 1 from the field. from the 201 in terms of 201 yards. Beckham had a clinching touchdown at 10-6. But again, to me, similar to where it was last week. This was about the Giant defense, which now has not given up a touchdown in 7 quarters, and frankly is just playing some of their best football by far defensively. But some of the best defensive football in the league right now. They're playing on that high level defensively over the last, 3 or 4 weeks. The Cleveland game, I kind of tossed out. Cleveland's not an NFL team, but the efforts that they put up back-to-back against very good offenses in Dallas and Detroit have been nothing short of spectacular. Giants will travel to Philly. Will end their season on the road. We both do 2 road games at Philly, at Washington, but at 10-4, they are in excellent shape to gain a wild card, to get the wild card. Still have the outside chance of getting home field throughout. They will have they need to win out and have Dallas lose their final 2 games. And they would have the tiebreaker over Dallas, but it would be very highly unlikely that Dallas loses their final 2 games. And I would venture to say that if Dallas clinches this week, that Washington Giant game, the Giants, it might not mean anything to both teams. Hopefully it means something to the Redskins. But there's an excellent chance that the Giants will play that game, will take that basically as a bye week in terms of how they play that game. Rest some guys. They got some guys banged up. Maybe Eli plays a half. We have a feeling that week 17 game with Washington and the Giants will not, won't mean anything to the Giants the way they're playing right now. Detroit falls to 9-5 in the season. Pittsburgh over Cincinnati 24-20. Pittsburgh improves to 9-5. Cincinnati falls to 5-8-1. You saw this comeback coming a mile away. Biggest play of this game was at 17-6 when Chris Boswell, who was the MVP of the game without question, making not only kicking the 6 field goals, but made a touchdown saving tackle on Alex Erickson, who's broken a couple of kickoff and punt returns over the course of the season. But almost broke one to make it 24-6 before halftime. Boswell did it just enough. I don't know how much of Erickson he got, but he bothered him just enough to have Erickson almost trip over himself, and keep him from getting a touchdown. Cincinnati kicked the field goal to go up 20-6, but couldn't do anything in the second half as Pittsburgh held them to just 38 second half yards. Just 222 total yards, and again another good solid performance by the Pittsburgh defense. They get just enough out of their offense. And again, Cincinnati, typical classic Cincinnati. They had a stretch where they had 4 straight penalties, personal foul. They just played undisciplined, stupid football. And to me, if I'm running that team, I've seen enough of Marvin Lewis. It's time to move on. Like, it's really trying. I mean, you can be at a place too long. Continuity is everything, but you can be at a place too long to where, the same voices, things get redundant. They kind of reminds me, and I don't think he's as good as coach, but it kind of reminds me of Baltimore in the latter years with Brian Billick, that eventually got just stale, and it was time to move on. Despite the Super Bowl win that Billick had on his resume from 2000, it was time to move on, and it worked out for Baltimore getting John Harbaugh. I don't know. Again, I don't have as much trust in Cincinnati's organization as I do, Ozzie Newsome, but it is definitely time to move on for Cincinnati. They still have talent there. I think Dalton's a franchise quarterback. Has some good, AJ Green will be back. Still has some good players on defense, but they're just too undisciplined at this point. I mean, they're gonna find a way to shoot themselves in the foot We saw it in a playoff game, and they'll never beat Pittsburgh in a big spot. It's kind of like Portland and the Lakers back in the day. They just, certain teams own other teams, especially in that division, and Pittsburgh owns the Cincinnati Bengals. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We return Baltimore in the squeaker and embarrassment at MetLife. That's coming up, and much, much more on this next edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Is your call number. You can turn off the Golden State Utah game. Golden State, I don't know why even Golden State still has like their players on the floor. Like they at this point, I mean Curry, Draymond Green, they should be, you know, in their warm up suits at this point in the game. This game is as the late Chick Curry used to say, you know, in the refrigerator, the Jell-O jiggling. The Jell-O jiggling, the eggs are cooling. I don't do it any justice. I should, as a Laker fan, I should know this. After all, you know, as a longtime Laker fan, but this game is pretty much a wrap. Golden State up by 33 against Utah, and absolutely toying with Utah. I mean, Golden State, you know, goes through these moments where they get into a mode where they just start toying with teams and, you know, just laughing, having, you know, soaking it up. And that's what they're doing to Utah tonight. Baltimore over Philadelphia, 27-26. Baltimore improves to 8-6, keeps pace with Pittsburgh as they get ready for a Christmas Day showdown at Heinz Field this week on Sunday. Philadelphia, of course, season is over, but still they fall to 5-9. Philadelphia goes for it on the 2-point conversion at the end of the game, going for the win. You have no problem with that. It's, you know, with a 5-8 football team, Justin Tucker, big day for him. You know, this guy is just basically automatic in terms of these long distance field goals. He kicks from a 53-yarder, 47-yarder, and just has become, you know, is the best kicker in football right now. And again, all of it, this guy, you know, from 50 yards or more, he's almost automatic. I mean, he's become just that dominant. He's a weapon to have, especially in these close games. Not an overly impressive performance by Baltimore. But again, give Philadelphia credit. Philadelphia fault. We mentioned earlier that it was a recurring theme with bad teams around the league really pushing these playoff contenders or teams with playoff aspirations to the limit. And that certainly was the case with Baltimore and Philadelphia. Miami embarrasses the Jets 34-13. Miami improves to 9-5. The Jets, of course, fall to 4-10. You wonder if Todd Bowles is going to survive this season. I really think realistically you have to give the coach 3 years to implement, you know, get their program implemented, get their players, you know, kind of, you know, I don't believe in, especially after 1 or 2 years, I really, realistically 3 years, but I would not be surprised if Todd Bowles is out after this year. We know that Woody Johnson, the Jet owner, is not the most patient owner, always looking towards the next thing. Again, Todd Bowles doesn't have the greatest personality, and right now again the team is clearly to me quit on Todd Bowles because, you know, you're at home against a backup quarterback, and the guy had, you know, Matt Moore ends up with, he had 12 completions, 4 of them for touchdowns. you know, Jay Ajayi, who has not played well of late, was, you know, 51 yards rushing with a fumble. So, you know, they controlled him as far as the running attack. But the Jets are absolutely quick. I mean, Indianapolis came in and destroyed them. Now Miami comes in, a division rival, a team that even in years where the Jets would have been good, that they always played Miami tough. And Miami used to dread playing the Jets if the Dolphins needed the game. Because the Jets used to always give them fits. And again, in years where Miami was trying to make the playoffs and the Jets were out of it, that certainly was not the case last Saturday night, as, you know, Miami broke a close game open and just absolutely ran away with the game, 34-13. And again, Miami controls his own destiny as far as making the playoffs, 9-5 right now. Tannehill, who knows if they're gonna get him back, win, or even if they're gonna get him back. But certainly Matt Moore played well with the 4 touchdown passes. Tennessee surprises Kansas City 19-17. They improved to 8-6, certainly in the thick of that AFC South race for the division. Kansas City falls to 10-4. Kansas City probably is going to have to go on the. It's going to have to. We'll be playing on the opening weekend. Don't think Kansas City is going to get one of those first two seeds to get a bye week. At one point, Tennessee was down 14-0, 17-7 in this game. I give Tennessee a lot of credit. They're playing good football right now. We know how good the offensive line is. DeMarco Murray has had a big year. Mariota, you know, good young quarterback, has played extremely well. Their defense is starting to play well. We know they can run the ball. Look at their resume of wins. You know, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Denver. They've beaten those three teams in the last 5 weeks. You win at Kansas City, that's a big time win. And there's no two ways about it. I mean, Kansas City's coming off a great win against Oakland, you know, on a Thursday night. What's a well rested Kansas City team? And they go into Arrowhead and take them out 19-17. Great win as Ryan Succop made his 53 yard field goal with no time left. Andy Reid froze him, attempted to freeze him. He misses the first one, makes the second one. And Tennessee is on its way possibly to a division title with a 19-17 win over Kansas City. Green Bay over Chicago, 30-27. Green Bay basically had to win this game twice. They were up 27-10, looking like they were cruising to an easy victory, but give Matt Barkley and Chicago credit. Chicago, you can say what you want about Chicago. They're 3-11. I don't think Fox has done a good job. I think there's more talent on that team. I think somewhat they're underachieving, but they do play hard. So I think could have beat the Giants. Could have beat Detroit. They played very well over the last month. Have basically been in every game minus the Tampa Bay game. So again, Chicago, has some players. Matt Barkley did have 3 interceptions, but had 2, got him back in the game with a couple of touchdown passes, 362 yards in total. Aaron Rodgers, of course, was Aaron Rodgers, made the one throw, would have had about well over 300 yards passing. He had about 4 or 5 drops between Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson. But was able to connect with Nelson on a 60-yard pass play that set up the game-winning field goal. As Green Bay looks as though they're going to run the table and get to the playoffs. They're at Minnesota. They host Minnesota and are at Detroit to finish the season. That I have a feeling that Detroit game will be for the division title. And they got, of course, Green Bay got some help from the Giants and find themselves, again, controlling their own destiny. If they win out, they are in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, if they win out, they will be the NFC North champs. But again, there's still a lot of football to be played between now and then. That will be not be an easy game at Detroit in a couple of weeks. New England over Denver, 16-3. Just a tremendous. New England loses 12-2. Denver falls to 8-6 on the season. This is a tremendous defensive performance by New England. Denver's offense could do next to nothing. Matter of fact, you know, it led to some basically a locker room divide. After the game, where you had offensively, apparently you had the cornerbacks yelling at the offensive linemen. Denver, again, was, to me, when Denver struggles, they're not able to run the ball. Only 58 yards rushing. New England, on the other hand, had 136. Deion Lewis had a big game. Remember, he hurt himself last year. And that was a big injury last year when he got hurt for New England. He's back this year, 95 yards rushing. We know what he can do catching out of the backfield. His Denver second half possessions, punt, turnover on downs, fumble. And you wonder why, you know, you had guys wanting to fight in the locker room, basically, with a defensive offense. I mean, the Denver defense was fine. I mean, Tom Brady only had 180 yards passing, barely had 188 yards passing, no touchdowns, no picks, but no touchdowns. So I thought the Denver defense played extremely well, considering they got nothing out of their offense. We had no problem with Denver defense. That was an excellent performance from Denver's defense. They got no help from the offense whatsoever. Give New England credit. That's been a house of horrors for Brady and company during the Brady-Belichick era, but they get the job done. And improved to 12-2 on the season. It looked like, you know, the road to Super Bowl 51 will have, in terms of the AFC, will go through Foxborough. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, another coach bites the dust, and we'll have our top five. We'll have our top five picks. Our top five teams, and much more in this latest edition of the Zero Zero Quick Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Jacksonville falls to Houston 21-20. Tom Savage comes in with leaves two big storylines in this game. Number one, Brock Osweiler benched, the $72 million man benched in place of Tom Savage, who came in, did some things, did a couple of things. What a spectacular. 23-36, 260. I've never heard a quarterback cheer so loudly. Once he left the field, I mean, when Osweiler got, when he came in with Savage, the crowd went berserk, and I've never heard it that loud for a guy that got benched. I've just never heard it that loud. Maybe they had, certainly, I'm sure there have been occasions where it's been as loud, if not louder, but that was one of the loudest cheers ever I've heard for the backup quarterback. And of course, everybody loves the backup quarterback until he plays. Jacksonville only mustered whatever the muster, only 150 yards of total offense. Houston had the ball about 36 minutes. Again, Houston is one of these teams that they're 8-6 and 5-0 in that division, but they're. You don't trust Houston, if they make the playoffs. I mean, you really don't. I want to see, honestly, division. I think Tennessee is going to win that division, to be honest with you. They're playing by far out of those three teams, Houston, Tennessee and Indianapolis. They are by far playing the best football. And frankly, it's just, Houston or Indianapolis it's not deserving of the playoffs. And those are just not good-looking teams. Osweiler, who knows if he ever, you know, puts a Texan uniform on again. It could be a deal where, you know, sometimes you just got to cut your losses. And I think that might be what Houston does with Brock Osweiler moving forward. Oakland over San Diego, 19-16. Oakland who's 11-3. San Diego falls to 5-8. Listen, San Diego, we knew this was going to be a tough game, divisional. San Diego's played a lot of teams tough over the course of the season. Not a vintage Oakland performance. You have to be concerned if you're Oakland about Carr's finger because he, you know, took the majority of snaps out of the pistol and shotgun. Right now, teams are absolutely daring them to run the football. They did have 145 yards rushing, but you know, if you say you're defending Oakland, you much rather have them run the football than have them throw the ball all over the place with Carr, Cooper, Crabtree, the two tight ends. Like you much rather have them, and that's why you know Kansas City just said, you know, here, you want to run the ball, run the ball. We're not giving up any deep stuff. We're not going to give you up any deep stuff. We're going to make you go 12, 14 play drives and test your patience. And, you know, right now, Carr has not looked right since he hurt that finger in the Carolina game about 3 weeks ago. So something to keep your eye on moving forward for Oakland, who still has a chance. If they finish tied with New England, we'll end up with home field advantage. Other game of note, Indianapolis embarrasses Minnesota 34-6 in Minnesota. Minnesota is finished for the season in terms of making the playoffs. Adrian Peterson was a non-factor, you know, 6 carries, 22 yards, had a fumble. Indianapolis is still alive to make the playoffs. But, again, Tennessee is better to me, and Houston is 5-0 in the division. So Indianapolis is going to have a tough time making the playoffs. Making the playoffs this year. Top five teams, I would go with still New England number one. I like the Giants at number two, Oakland at number three, Dallas at number four, and how about this? The Green Bay Packers coming in at number five. I think Green Bay is very dangerous right now. I love the way they're playing, especially offensively. You know, so much for, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, losing on the decline and what have you, all that talk. We got 32 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Defensively, they're starting to get healthy. So they could be a team. They get in the playoffs. You don't want to see them, especially in that divisional game. We'll see how it goes in the wild card. In that divisional game, you're one of those top two seeds where it's Dallas, Seattle. You would not want to see Green Bay in Dallas and Seattle. They know how to play those teams, especially Seattle. I think Dallas might show up better than Green Bay than Seattle does, but they'll be very, I mean, if they get to the playoffs, they're going to be very, very tough out. Of course, we talked about Gus Bradley being fired. No shocker, he's going at the end of the season. That's something that you're going to start to see more of moving forward. Teams getting their guys over so they can get the jump on the these assistants. Josh McDaniels or any other hot coordinators or guys coming out of college. So Jeff Fisher, you saw fire, you know, last week. So you're gonna start to see this moving forward. Teams let go of guys week 12, 13, week 14. Moving forward in the future, I think we'll see more of this without question. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Silver Joe Quick Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Have a great rest of the holiday season. So long.